Jello.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome. This is the Get Up, CJLO Radio, 1690 AM. My name is Julia Israel. I'm your co-host.
And I'm Leora Schertzer, the other half of the Get Up. We recently switched to a Friday slot, feeling good about that. Friday, obviously a lot more fun than Monday, what we had last time. It is currently -2 degrees in Montreal and cloudy this morning. A little bit slippery outside. Watch your step, but warming up a little bit. Not too cold, and it's going to get up to -1 today, this morning. High of 1 degrees and down to -6 this evening. No precipitation, just clouds.
Very good. Sounds like the rest of the whole week. Now we got some traffic stories. Pretty much nothing new. The traffic's a little bit backed up on DeCary, going both directions right now. But other than that, the routes are pretty clear. So we're going to get back after a short break. We're listening to Oublie-moi by Deville, a Montreal-Moroccan jazz duo that we both really love. After that, we're going to listen to some news. We have a few interviews on about some strikes around Concordia. So stay tuned. You're listening to The Get Up this morning on CJLO Radio 1690, and we'll be back.
Je repense à ce coup de fil trop de mer. Bébé, je t'aime. Attends-moi le ciel éterne. Quand c'est entre ciel et terre, tu mets le soleil dans ma rétine. Donc, hey, déjà que moi je brûle les étapes. Style offre pour mes gars qui s'anime, trinque autour des tables. Sans ce rap, je serais dead. La musique dans ma tête. Y'a pas de couleur qui mène. Si t'as du cœur, on célébra. J'ai choisi de faire des rimes. Fallait remplir des cahiers. Mec, l'esprit est calme. Et quand je regarde la terre, j'ai comme l'envie de tout foutre en l'air. Il me taille, mais j'arrête. La haine n'aidera pas, mec. Enfermé dans ma chambre, j'écris pour rire ce qui est néfaste. J'sais pas ce qui m'aime. Ce qui mène, s'oublie dans la fête, c'est trop facile à faire. Mets ton masque à soirée sans sat. Si je mets tous mes soucis dans la paire, j'sais que la note sera salée. Bédave toute la soirée dans la vibe, le reste s'oublie et se passe les années goût amer. Je revois les souvenirs tant aimés, y'en aura d'autres, alors je reste à sourire aux lèvres avant d'être fané.
And we're back. You're listening to The Get Up, CJLO 1690 this morning. The classrooms at Concordia University are empty this week, and thousands of students are striking against classrooms at Concordia, or the tuition hikes for the out-of-province and international students. Today is day two of the strikes, and with us now is Kevin Vaillancourt from the Concordia newspaper to help us understand the situation a little bit more. Kevin?
Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good. Just to correct you a bit, this is the third day of our strikes. We were striking Wednesday as well, so...
Right, my mistake. Well, thank you. Today is the third day, and how are you feeling about what's going on? What's the atmosphere at the pickets?
It's going pretty, I want to say, well. We've had some instances where some teachers are a bit confrontational, you know, and we just had like a few unsavory situations, but generally with most of the classes that have, like, you know, most of the departments that have vote to go on strike, most professors have decided to just cancel their classes altogether, and that's good. You know, dealing with professors that are a bit tougher to get to is also an interesting challenge in of itself. And honestly, yeah, I'm feeling hopeful about it, but I do think we'll still have to like be striking in some way, shape, or form, whether or not it's still like another, you know, more days of picketing or a general unlimited strike. Like, I almost feel like this is more of like a trial session for us to see how well we could coordinate. And then next time, hopefully we could get even more departments to come on strike with us. And yeah.
Right. Now, a lot has gone into this finally happening. Can you tell us how many students or how many unions have voted for the strikes? Like, how many people are involved?
To be honest, I do not know the number specifically, but if I were to give like a general guess from like the amount of types of classes that we've had to picket, I'd say maybe half or maybe a quarter of departments. I'm leaning on more like a quarter or a third or somewhere. I think I'm probably not like the best person to be talking to about this.
That's
like
all good.
For general numbers, since like I'm only just like on the picket lines and helping out. I'm not really coordinating at all. You'd have to be asking this to somebody else. So sorry if I can't.
No, it's okay. Good. We have other people coming on the show so we can fill in the gaps. But you're on the pickets and we've been seeing a lot of red squares everywhere being used as a symbol. Why are we bringing back the red square?
I think mainly it's just because it's a good form of knowing who's supporting the strike or not, right? Like, you think of, like, you know, little cancer ribbons that people wear for, like, breast cancer survivors and other cancer survivors. I think it's probably, like, a situation similar to that where, like, you know, it's a symbol to know who's a part of the whole,
the whole movement.
I can't think of the word. Sorry. It's in the morning. I'm a mess right now.
Understandable. But, yeah. No, this reminds me, the Red Square reminds me of those 2012 tuition hike protests that we've seen in Quebec. And Quebec has a long history of successful student strikes. So I guess, how are you feeling about this? You're feeling hopeful that this is just the beginning?
I'm feeling quite hopeful. Yeah. I mean, I am like on the front lines right now, picketing in front of the VA building. And so maybe the mood is a bit more up for me because like I'm directly helping out in this form. But, you know, I guess it really depends on what, you know, how everyone's feeling in the coming weeks or not, you know, striking directly when we're not picketing classes, you know, when we're holding like workshops or other events to like, you know, still raise awareness in the case we do decide to go on strike again for maybe a week, 2 weeks, general unlimited strike, you know. Like, I guess that would be the real time to ask what kind of mood I'm feeling and, like, how hopeful I'm feeling. Because very well, like, you know, it could happen that next time people start holding general assemblies, they could easily just decide to say, like, oh, well, I feel like we weren't that successful during our first round, so let's just stop. You know, you could probably very well wind up in a situation like that. I hope not. I hope to God I hope not. But, you know, you could probably just wind up people with that. So it's very much a situation where you have to wait and see to see, like, how effective these are going to be. But I do think we are getting to people. We are getting to professors when we, like, have one-on-one conversations with them. and we have students walking out of their classes, and we're handing out flyers and all that. So I think we're having meaningful conversations.
Awesome.
About the strikes.
Thanks so much for talking us today, Kevin. That was Kevin Vaillancourt from the Concordia newspaper, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yes, awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. You're listening to The Get Up on CJLO Radio this morning, 1690 AM. We're going to be back after a quick break to talk more about the strikes.
Canada, our home and native land, 100,000 years we've walked upon your sands with saddened hearts. Seen you robbed and stripped of everything you prized. While they cut down the trees, we were shunted aside to the jails and the penitentiaries. Canada, we sympathize with thee. Oh Canada, we stand on guard for thee.
It is 9:12 a.m. You are listening to The Get Up on CJLO 1690 a.m. Here in Montreal. Just to make a couple corrections from our last interview, there are 9,000 Concordia students on strike and 500, is that right, or 5,000?
500.
Thank you, Julia. McGill students. And we got these numbers from Jules Bagel at CKUT.
Thanks, Jules. So now we've got on the phone Atis Bolsoy, Social Affairs Coordinator at Concordia's Geography Undergrad Student Society, here to give us his perspective. Hello, Atis.
Hello.
So what's the atmosphere at the picket lines? How are you feeling about these strikes?
So picket lines vary depending on the faculty and also on the department. But I was picketing since Wednesday, and I've experienced many different picket lines. For example, our department, our professors are really on our sides, and they're also showing that. Many of my professors, which I'm taking their courses this semester, sent us emails explaining that they are valuing our causes and they won't cross our picket lines. And when we were there physically, they just like came, talked to us about how it's going and joked with us about picket lines and stuff, and then they left. But I was also picketing other departments as well, and the situation is not the same for many other departments. I have experienced many professors shouting at us and physically, aggressively crossing picket lines. Their students were also there trying to explain why picket lines are important, but they weren't really supporting picket lines. So yeah, it depends on the faculty and the departments mostly. But as a geography major, our department is going really well in terms of the communication between students and the faculty.
That's really great news. I'm actually wondering about the geography department students and how specifically they're affected by the tuition hikes. Like, are many out of province? Are many of these students international?
Yeah. Our student body is mostly consisting of out-of-province and international students, so it's affecting our student body immensely. And the application rates for our department, which offers urban planning, urban studies, environmental geography, human environment course, and programs are on risk because, like I said, our student body is mostly consisting of out-of-province and international students. But apart from that, I think, yeah, it's a really bad situation for all of us. I'm also an international student. But because of our student body's demographics, I think it's one of the most important factors why we are mostly radicalized and mobilized to fight tuition hikes. And I'm also here in our picket line dispatch point at Hall 7th floor, and it's mostly geography and urban planning students here at 9:15.
Okay, I see. And what would you say to students that are concerned about the strikes negatively impacting their studies?
Yeah, I got this question since Wednesday a lot because I feel like there is a big misconception about tuition hike strikes amongst Concordia, but we are doing this to protect everyone. We are doing this to protect out-of-province and international students primarily, yes, but it's also not changing the fact that the tuition hikes will affect the applications and the amount of students enrolled at Concordia, and less students are equal to less funding. So it will affect everyone. It will affect the services like People's Potato, which is really essential for Concordia. Hive, student societies will be affected. Even in this semester, winter 24, all departments at Concordia's budgets were cut by 10%. So I would encourage all students to volunteer at the picket lines, even though they are not picketing all day. They can just like come picket their own classes. And there are also many professors who are on our side as well, like in geography, yes, but there's also other student societies on strike, like English, urban planning, chemistry, biochemistry, physics, philosophy, and stuff. So, yeah, I would encourage everyone because it's concerning all students at Concordia. Yes, our tuition as currently enrolled students won't increase, but if they want to change their majors, change their faculty, they will automatically be substituted to the new tuitions. And apart from that, like I said, their student societies won't run as they used to do. They won't be, they won't have the same services at Concordia, and they won't have many TAs like they used to. Research opportunities will decrease. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Attis. That was Attis Balsoy talking with us from the social affairs coordinator, as a social coordinator at Concordia's Geography Undergrad Student Society. Thank you so much for coming on the show today.
No problem.
Bye.
We're going to have a little ad break now. After the break, we are going to talk about the Black Theater Workshop's latest production, which premiered last night, Diggers. We will be speaking with the director, Pulga Mucho Choma. So stick around. You are listening to The Get Up on CJLO 1690 AM.
You're back with awesome recommendations for your next read. Score big with a free account. Enjoy comic subscriptions and membership discounts. Be in on the action at 3560 Notre Dame West in St. Henry, right near Metro Lionel Brew. Crossover Comics, sharing your passions since 2012.
Pansy, Annie, bonjour, hello. This is composer Andrew Balfour inviting you to experience Isfachiwin, a musical journey bridging cultures and perspectives. It is both a personal journey and evocative testament to the transformative power of music. This recording features Calgary's luminous voices with the incredible Jessica McMahon and Walter McDonald Whitebear on flutes. It is my hope that this album deepens our understanding of Indigenous storytelling. Isfachiwin is available now wherever you listen to music.
Black Theater Workshop's production of Diggers premiered last night, and wow, what a way to kick off Black History Month. It will be playing at the Siegel Center until February 17th. On the air with us this morning, we've got the director, Pulga Muchochoma. Pulga is a Toronto-based dancer and choreographer from Mozambique. He's been working with the Toronto Dance Theater since 2015. Diggers is a play about three grave diggers working through a pandemic as their workload increases and their support from their community diminishes. And yeah, we've heard a lot about hardship and essential work over the last few years, but seeing it play out through art and reliving all those emotions was like really not what I expected. It was really something else. So Pulga, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
I'm catching you the morning after an energetic opening night. How are you feeling this morning?
I feel exhausted.
Yeah, I bet.
it was an intense month of working, especially the play being very heavy with the history of that you just spoke about.
Yeah.
I feel like now my whole energy just kind of like understanding what it takes emotionally and mentally to just do that. So now I'm pretty much feeling it now.
Right. Oh my God.
Yeah.
But it was, you must be also be feeling proud because that was a really impressive production that you had yesterday as well.
Thank you very much. I am very proud. I had a really, really amazing team on my side, so I'm grateful for that.
Can you tell us a little bit about, what this play is about?
This play is about Ebola crisis in Sierra Leone. It's pretty much about two grave diggers, Abdul and Solomon, who were working to support the traditional ritual of burying bodies. But then when the crisis got heavier, Solomon's nephew Bai was sent, not by his own choice, but he was sent to the graveyard to help and stay with his uncle. So at that moment, through the amount of death that was going on at the time, for a young child like Bai, young boy like Bai, to accept the fact that the reality now is about burying bodies and not be able to go back to town. And the people in town pretty much denied them to come back to town. So I think that's pretty much the story behind this play, where like you feel like you are supporting this community, but at the end of the day, the community is not on your side.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Like you were saying, this is a play about essential workers during a pandemic.
Right.
And a lot of the time, those doing the hardest jobs in our society are people of color. Can you talk a bit about why Black Theater Workshop decided to make a play about essential workers?
That's a great question. I think the reason why they decided to do this, to present this play, it's pretty much as a reminder. One of the things that I mentioned on my director's note was, I wanted the people that come to watch this show to understand and to leave asking the question of what roles do we play as individuals when we have people that are doing essential work to support us, to give everything on front of the line to support us. So I think the Black Theater Workshop pretty much wanted the audience to come down and experience that and to leave out of the theater with that question of where do you belong in society? And also for the essential workers to be heard and understand that there are people out there that still want this story to be told.
And I guess, speaking of essential work, something that is like a fact of life is death, which is a major theme in the play, which took place in a graveyard and during a pandemic. And we kind of saw the gruesome side of death management with body bags and descriptions of the piles of bodies. And there's many kinds of essential workers that we've heard of over the last few years, like grocery store staff, agriculture workers, nurses. So why did this play focus on grave diggers?
Focus on the grave diggers because we all have to think about the people that we're trying to protect. Of course, we have nurses and grocery store workers, which we're thankful for them, but we don't speak about the people that bury the bodies as much. Death is a thing that is happening. Mm-hmm. So we cannot ignore the people that are sending the last, that are giving the dead bodies their last moment on earth between the living world and to the next world. I think it's essential that the grave diggers have recognitions about the level of work that they do. It's important because I come from a very spiritual and culture where like the dead should have the same amount of respect as the living. Mm-hmm. So in order for us to do that, the grave diggers have to be recognized because they are the one who send us to that place somehow, somewhere.
And I guess also a lot of those essential workers that we've heard a lot about, they're very much like in the forefront. Like we interact with nurses every day, we interact with grocery store staff, but these grave diggers, like the play demonstrates, are really tucked away and isolated and not really permitted to interact with the rest of society.
Right, which is sad because, you know, those people, the grave diggers, deserve that respect.
Absolutely.
You know, they absolutely deserve that respect. It's one of those things that I think what the playwright did here is giving voice to those grave diggers, because we always put them on the side and not understanding the power that they have. You know, like even on the play, there's a character that plays Abdul, Chance plays Abdul, and Abdul says, "We put them down with dignity." You know, so that word to me is very powerful because we never think about burying bodies in the moment of crisis with that, that there's a spirituality that comes with it. So it's a reminder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you and I talked a little bit about this last night, but you're a dancer and this is the first play that you've directed. How did you come to direct a play?
How did I come about to, Donna Michelle Saint-Bernard, the playwright, who is an amazing playwright and also number one amazing human being. She written a few plays for her 50-fology project that she's trying to write play about every single country in Africa. So Donna Michelle and I have collaborated before many, many times. And most of the times I'm the one who does movement for her plays. So this time she actually texted me. One day I was at home watching the Raptors game and she texted me and she's like, "Hey, Pulga, do you want to direct my play?" Simple as that. And then I said, no, I don't think I can do it. I don't think I have enough to direct the play. I've never done that before. But and then, you know, the crazy part of me said, "Do it. You're gonna. There's nothing that you can lose from learning this experience." So that was it. And between me and Donna Michelle, that moment I realized, like, you know what? I'm gonna take a risk and trying to do something that I've never done before. And here I am in Montreal. Thank God.
And is Donna Michelle, is she based in Montreal or is she also Toronto?
She's also Toronto-based artist.
Okay.
And she was also there at the show last night, which was even better because I wanted to, you know, share that moment with her eye to eye. So I'm glad she came last night.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. Do you have any other projects that you're working on at the moment?
At the moment, I'm going to go home to Toronto and take some time off.
Okay.
First of all. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to get back to the studio. I'm working on two solos this year, dance solos. I'm remounting my solo Mashkara. That Mashkara means a mask. It's a solo that I create about the racism and culture differences between Africa and Canada and my personal experience. And then I'm also creating another solo called Ngoma, which means drum. And the idea of drum is pretty much trying to dance and improvise to every single beat of a music, pretty much. So I have a lot of stuff going on, and I'm also creating a trio on three girls in Toronto that I worked with in the past week. So a lot of stuff on the line. So that's pretty much what I'm focused on.
Yeah, sounds like you're pretty busy, and you mentioned that you're going back to Toronto this morning and you have to catch a flight, so I'll let you get to that. Good luck getting to the airport, and thank you so much for joining us on the show this morning. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
That was Pulga Muchochoma, Toronto-based dancer and director of Diggers, which premiered at the Siegel Center last night as part of the Black Theater Workshop. You can catch it at the Siegel Center until February 17th. We are going to listen to a little bit of music, take a little break. You're listening to The Get Up on CJLO 1690 AM. It is 9:30 in the morning.
Wadala lengoma kwa fuki timu Yeweno sase pisi upegi tindusi Amambanga namtlanje ngihamba nichu Hamba nichu, hamba nichu, hamba nichu Ipo wini nyumba nangati vule ngembo Yokata li president iti kata li tu Yewe namba na mina uzo pushwa nitu Uzo pushwa nitu Ayo katala bona bebe lobu meme Ay kamalami Kamalami Smejoa Kamalami 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 Ayo katala bona bebe lobu meme Kamalami Kamalami Kamalami, 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 kamalami. Bayo katala bona bebe lokumemeza. Kamalami, 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 kaupinde mzala. Kamalami.
Bob P. I was late key. Oh yeah, I was late key. The other Doza, the other boy. I'm a girl of Fanaga. I'm a title of the fancy campaign boy. But why is it that one more going? Jefarle, hasta jefarle, yo vuela, jefarle.
Good times with good people.
Me, I'm all about that shit.
Good times with my people.
Me, I'm all about that shit.
Tots a grand, tots a mnad.
Me, I'm all about that shit.
Ubum nand, buffet.
Me, I'm all about that shit.
Good times with good people.
Me, I'm all about that shit.
Good times with my people.
Me, I'm all about that shit.
Tots a grand,
tots a mnad. Me, I'm all about that shit.
Ubum nand,
buffet.
I'm about the life. Hamba when I bend, hamba when I push, hamba when I LV, hamba when I diamond walk. Hamba when I trip, hamba when I push, hamba when I LV, hamba when I diamond walk. Hamba when I bend, hamba when I push, hamba when I LV, hamba when I diamond walk. Hamba when I trip, hamba when I push, hamba when I LV, hamba when I diamond walk.
I told them not give a fee.
We were just listening to Diamond Walk by Abidoza. Before that, we heard Mzala by PC. It is Black History Month this February. To honor that, we talked to Pugola Muchochoma, director of the play Diggers, put on by the Black Theater Workshop. If you missed it, you can catch it on the archive on cjlo.com in the episode archive. You're listening to The Get Up. It is 9:43 a.m. minus 2 in Montreal. A little bit cloudy, a little bit icy, but, you know, quite mild. Not so bad. Get your coats on. Watch your step on those streets. But that's pretty much it for the weather. We are going to listen to a little bit of news now, so stay tuned.
We also have an Instagram now.
Yeah, we do have an Instagram. Thanks, Julia. What's our Instagram?
The Instagram is thegetup.mtl. Follow us for news on who we're going to talk to each week.
Yeah. Brand new.
Yeah, brand new. Each Friday morning.
Be one of our first followers.
Yeah, follow.
You can be proud of that.
All right. We're going to check out an ad and then we'll listen to some more news.
Keep it locked.
Comics. Unleash your inner geek with the best selection of graphic novels, manga, games like Pokemon and Magic, in-store events, merch, and more. Our knowledgeable and friendly staff have got your back with awesome recommendations for your next read. Score big with a free account. Enjoy comic subscriptions and membership discounts. Be in on the action at 3560 Notre Dame West in St. Henry, right near Metro Lionel Drew. Crossover Comics, sharing your passions since 2012.
Up next, we have some original reporting of the student strikes going on at McGill and Concordia, courtesy of CKUT and Jules Bijal. You can listen to CKUT at 90.3 FM or CKUT.ca.
I'm Jules Bijal. This Wednesday to Friday, more than 500 McGill students and 9,000 Concordia students are striking in protest of the Quebec out-of-province tuition hikes. Those hikes will see students from the rest of Canada pay an extra $3,000 per year starting next fall. CKUT spoke to Liam Gaither, who's VP External of McGill's Student Society, about the uphill battle to build momentum against these hikes, which are largely going to be felt by future students. Here's our conversation.
So thanks so much for chatting with me. Can I just get you to introduce yourself?
Yeah, for sure. So my name is Liam Gaither. I'm the VP External Affairs at the SSMU.
Today we're here to talk about the week of student strikes in protest of out-of-province tuition hikes being introduced by the Quebec government starting next fall. Can you just give me a little bit of background on what exactly has been proposed by the government and why it's such a big deal for students at McGill?
Yeah, so the government announced in October that they would be raising the price of tuition for out-of-province students to about $17,000 per semester. And after some developments, it's now lowered to $12,000 per semester. However, you know, students need to reject this overall. It's not an affordable tuition hike at all. And there is an aspect of this for international students as well, as they did announce that there would be a floor of $20,000, I believe, per year for international students.
So, you know, when you think about Quebec student fees, you think of tuition hikes, you think of 2012, right? The Maple Spring that happened, and you know, the government wanted to raise tuition and students really mobilized against it across the province, Francophone and Anglophone students. But this latest move has just basically targeted a few Anglophone institutions. How, in your opinion, as VP External, as someone who's trying to organize people against this, how has that impacted the way in which folks in the province have responded to the tuition hikes?
Yeah, I mean, a sentence that's being used over and over is sort of that idea of divide and conquer, right? Like, they are trying to separate us from the rest of the Quebec population in order to increase tuition. And we know that at some point in the future, they're also going to want to increase to Quebec tuition, maybe separate from out-of-province students. I really think that that's at the core of the issue of why, you know, mobilization is happening on these campuses and maybe not in other places, is because people don't see it within themselves that the tuition hike will affect them. But this affects our institutions and this affects affordability for students overall. And so we need to care about this together.
Yeah, I mean, part of the rationale for the hikes was we're going to get more money from Anglophone out-of-province students, and then we're going to take that and put it back into the Francophone network. In your conversations, I guess, with folks at other universities, how are you seeing that side of it play out? Because I know some Francophone institutions have been vocally opposed, and then some have been supportive of the hikes.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, I think most people I've spoken to are very opposed. They see it as sort of a BS idea to once again like divide us and sort of make the argument for funding Francophone universities without funding universities in general. But what most people want to fight for is free education, and that's what every campaign about tuition has been about since the 1960s in Quebec, actually, has always been to push for a public university system that is funded by the government, which is actually extremely achievable. So we just have to fight for it.
In terms of the fight itself, right? This week we have a student strike at McGill and Concordia. Can you tell me a little bit about what that will look like? What folks should expect to happen?
Yeah, so students are striking this Wednesday through Friday and picketing classes relevant to their departments or faculties. At Concordia, that looks like about 9,000 students that are on strike through various departments and faculty associations. And at McGill, it's been a little bit slower. We're about 600 people. Students will be picketing those classes and are learning to picket maybe for the first time. The picketing can look different depending on what the association has chosen to go forward with. So it can sometimes be more of a hard picket where they're actually blocking the class in some way, or more of a soft picket where they just sort of announce that the strike is happening and encourage people to participate. But people won't be going to class and will have time to do other things like engage in the number of workshops that are being offered over the next couple of days at Concordia and at McGill. So there's all sorts of workshops and film screenings, events to go to, because we're hoping to really build community out of these strikes and push for a larger mobilization overall.
Yeah, I have to ask, those numbers, there's a bit of a discrepancy there between what's happening at McGill and what's happening at Concordia. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, I mean, it really boils down to a couple factors, right? McGill has never been like the most mobilized or politicized campus in Quebec. And we tend to attract a slightly different crowd maybe than Concordia does. I think also that there are just so many more people involved directly in the mobilization there than there are at McGill. And those that have been pushing at McGill have done an excellent job of mobilizing departments involved. But at the end of the day, we just need more hands to be able to create a larger mobilization. And we're going to continue trying to push upwards in our trajectory. Just for context, right, like we've been organizing on this since it was announced in October. And there was a strike on November 30th, a one-day strike, that involved only 2,000 students at Concordia and none at McGill. And so really the numbers are up by a large amount since last time. And so we'll be setting higher and higher goals each time and hopefully build towards a general strike.
How would you, I guess, market this to students at McGill who maybe, you know, they won't personally be affected by the tuition hikes. They might be affected by austerity measures that the university puts in place as a result of financial pressures that they're under. But, you know, they're not going to be paying that extra $3,000 a year. Mm-hmm. And so just, you know, they don't see themselves as part of a political movement around this. What would you say to that to, you know, get them to strike and show them that they're is power, I guess, in this kind of mobilization?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's extremely hard to mobilize on something that seems, you know, altruistic almost, where you're sort of doing it for others or for the benefit of others. But that's kind of the point, is to be part of a collective mobilization for a better education system overall. And so opposing free tuition is one part of it. And yes, that's a personal part for students that aren't even in the province yet, haven't even come to the school where they would be paying that tuition. But we're not only fighting for that. We're fighting for free education. We're fighting for fair education, affordable education, and then on its way to free.
I think most students may not even know that this is going on. Mm-hmm. The question of whether or not to strike would never, in most cases, actually reach them, right? Mm-hmm. It's folks who've been voted into these kind of faculty or department positions who are getting that. So what is it going to take to get from your perspective, more of these folks on board if you're looking for, I don't know, you're looking to foster a bigger mobilization at McGill?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, one expression we've been using again and again has been like that people are kind of clutching their pearls over it, over this issue. And that sort of when we ask these executives from department or faculty associations to at least consider the question of striking, they kind of, you know, they want to put us down very quickly. They don't really want to engage it too much because it's extremely disruptive and it would maybe put off their schooling for some time. But I think that overall people are not well informed on how striking works and why there's power in the strike and why we essentially only have power through our strike rather than any other kind of lobbying or legal action. This is where we have it. And so what I think it would take to mobilize in the long run is, I mean, what we've been doing and what has been successful is to, and we would have to continue doing, is to like just ask people to put that question to their membership rather than to just sort of kill it in that moment. And so we say, we're not asking you to, as an executive, to directly engage with a strike or directly to endorse it. You can be completely against it, but you should put the question to your membership. You should explain it well. And once that happens, then the people can decide if they're interested or not. But you have that power as an association to directly engage with your membership. You have people's attention, and so you should be asking these questions.
So you said that when students are taking time out of their classes to join the strike, they can also join a bunch of activities. And can you tell me more about what specifically you have planned this week?
Yeah, so there's a number of things going down at McGill and at Concordia, starting tonight and going all the way until Friday. Most of them are workshops, talks with different people who have been involved in the student movement or adjacent movements in recent years. So maybe a couple examples, like there's a picketing workshop this evening to talk about how picketing works and really just simulate maybe some tense moments that you may experience if you are picketing. On Thursday, we have a film screening about the Parkdale rent strikes and how tenants were successfully able to organize their apartment buildings and organize a rent strike against sort of corporate landlords in Toronto. So talking more about the power of strikes. We have some other students that want to talk about anarchism in the student movement and what that can look like or what that has looked like in the past. And also some more people coming back from 2012 to talk about their experiences and maybe some Coles notes for us in the near future as we move into a larger mobilization.
Yeah, and what do you have planned, I guess, going forward? I know maybe you can't share specifics, but it's end of January now. These tuition hikes come into effect September 2024. Mm-hmm. There's still quite a bit of time in between now and then. What are you looking to on the horizon, I guess, for the rest of the academic term while you're still VP External?
Yeah, absolutely. So my term will end in late May, right? So I'm trying to think about that a lot. But we're expecting the government to put the tuition hike officially through in their budget proposal in mid-March. That's kind of what we think is going to happen, as they would have done previously with other tuition hikes and as they usually do when they submit their budget. We're looking to try and oppose that strongly and build a broader student movement before that time. So that does shorten the timeline quite a bit, but the mobilization can still happen afterwards as we can continue to try and build negotiation power with the government and ask them, force them to pull back this measure. We're also looking to build, you know, a culture. The strike is really just sort of one part of this entire mobilization. Like, it also takes people being in the streets, takes people doing creative actions that just sort of raise awareness and create a sense of sort of things are happening, just giving people that impression. And, you know, we need to be in constant communication with the administration and all these different aspects. And so there are lots of ways to get involved in this mobilization. It just takes a lot more hands.
Yeah. And if folks are hearing about this and want to get involved, where can they go to learn more?
Yeah. So there are a lot of student association pages that are now posting pretty regularly about this if they want to just get some information. So at Concordia, there could be ASFA, the Arts and Sciences Federation of Associations. And at McGill, there's SMU_EA on Instagram, or also Mugs, McGill Geography, has been posting quite a bit. So that would be at McGill Geography.
Thanks so much for coming on the show. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. You're listening to The Get Up on CJLO Radio, 1690 AM.
Who was that giving us that news?
Well, I'll get to that. Thank you, Leora, for reminding me. That was Jules Begout with CKUT about the student strikes against tuition hikes.
It's Friday, guys.
It's Friday. It's almost 10. The weather is the same.
The weather's the same. We are going to play a little bit more music to end out the show. Thanks for tuning in. It has been... My name is Leo Schertzer. I'm co-host of The Get Up.
And I'm Julia Israel, second co-host of The Get Up. Thanks for listening with us today. We've got a last song to close it out. Is the herb dope? Mr. Electric Triangle. Everybody ready to seize the day?